You know, this Sunday will be our fifth of seven sermons on tools used by the enemy against God's church. Now, each topic presented previously represents subtle ways the enemy attempts to focus or refocus our understandings and practices of ministry. Now, I use that word subtle intentionally because, well, let me share the definition for you. The word subtleness simply means clever, crafty, sly, and devious. It means to operate, if you will, in a hidden, injurious way. Now, the enemy of God, our enemy, is very patient about instilling characteristics within our lives that he knows are in stark contrast to the righteousness of God. And I believe that's important for us to remember, for the ultimate goal of you and I growing in holiness is to prepare us for the residency we are given as adopted children of Christ, of God, within the kingdom of God. I think I messed that up, didn't I, Missy? Let me say that again. The ultimate goal of each of us growing in holiness is to prepare us for residency within the kingdom of God. Now, the topics that we have looked at so far have been procrastination, an unteachable spirit, hatred, and being judgmental. And the reason for our investigation of these tools the enemy uses against the church comes from an understanding that when any of us are negatively impacted by them, it impacts all of us. I mean, much like a ripple of water is cast out over the entirety of a pond, the negative effects of these tools on an individual level carry over into the corporate life of the church. And I wish that it were not so, but it is. And we know that because Paul reminds us of this truth when he compares the body of Christ to the extremities of the human body. I mean, one cannot smash open a thumb and it not also impact the head and even sometimes the stomach, right? So here's the point. While the prior messages may have been received and even applied on a personal level, what we are also in need of combating is how these tools, when they are embodied by a church, how they are destructive corporately and to the community of faith, especially if they are simply ignored and or openly embraced. Now, I know all of us agree that the church is to be a place, a rescue station, if you will, for those who we see as that are hurting, those who are suffering from brokenness, those who are perishing spiritually and physically. And I pray our presence is a gathering place where people feel safe, they feel nurtured, they feel cared about, a place where healing can happen and grief can be shared so that one may continue to grow spiritually. I want people to know that we are a community. Green Forest United Methodist Church is a community that not only speaks of and believes in the redeeming work of Christ, but we are a community where people can find and receive the redeeming work of God in their lives that they are needing. But this only happens when we stand in solidarity against the negative effects caused by the issues of procrastination, an unteachable spirit, hatred, and judgmentalism. Now, if you and I choose to be unaware or simply ignore these issues within our lives, well then, as I've said before, this just simply opens the door for the enemy to work through us, even when we do not know it. I mean, Satan doesn't need me and you to necessarily have a fall from grace where we are publicly shamed for us to be ineffective for the kingdom of God. He can do just as much harm when we are willfully or blindly ignorant to his subtle ways. Now, understanding that, today we're going to look at a different tool the enemy has successfully used against the church for years. But our example today will not come from a single character of Scripture. Rather, we are going to look at a group of people, or maybe a more accurate description is a class of people within the Bible. And the folks that I'm referencing are seen as religious leaders, not even before Christ's earthly ministry, but especially during Christ's earthly ministry. Now, most people simply reference them as a whole when you hear them use the term Pharisee. And this group, the Pharisees, will be our focus for the remaining of our sermon time. And the title of our sermon today is Modern Day Pharisee. Now, before we go to our text, I want to share with you just a little bit of background. It comes after the time when Jesus went into the temple and turned over the tables. You all remember that time, I'm sure. Right after that, he stayed there in the temple and began to teach. And as he was teaching, the Pharisees, we'll lump them in as one with that term, the spiritual elites or the religious leaders of the day, they come in and question Christ's authority. And by doing so, Jesus doesn't begin badgering with them to be in an altercation. Rather, he begins teaching using parables in hopes that it will bring about some type of spiritual enlightenment within this religious elites who are opposing him. But instead of them heeding Christ's words, they become even more aggressive in seeking a way to undermine him. They first tried to corner him about taxes, remember? And then they tried to confuse him or stump him up, if you will, by asking him about marriage after the resurrection. Now, I share this premises with you because the religious leader's questioning is what Jesus is precisely addressing in our scriptures that we're going to read from Matthew chapter 23. At least that is in my opinion. So I want to ask you to join with me today. We're going to read about 15 verses from Matthew chapter 23. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 28 specifically. So join with me as Nathan puts them on the screen for you, where it says in verse 13, "How terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites," he says. "You shut people out of the kingdom of heaven. You don't enter yourself, and you won't allow those who want to enter to do so. How terrible it will be for you, legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites," he says. "You travel over sea and land to make one convert. But when they've been converted, they become twice the child of hell you are. How terrible it would be for you blind guides who say, 'If people swear by the temple, it's nothing. But if people swear by the gold in the temple, they are obligated to do what they swore.' You foolish and blind people," Jesus continues, "which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold holy? You say if people swear by the altar, it's nothing. But if they swear by the gift on the altar, they are obligated to do what they swore. You blind people, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift holy? Therefore, those who swear by the altar swear by it and by everything that's on it. Those who swear by the temple swear by it and everything that's part of it. And those who swear by heaven swear by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. How terrible," he continues, "how terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. You give to God a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, but you forget about the more important matters of the law, justice, peace, and faith. You ought to give a tenth, but without forgetting about those more important matters. You blind guides, you filter out an ant, but swallow a camel. How terrible it will be for you," he says, "you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of violence and pleasure seeking. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of the cup will be clean too. How terrible it'll be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites, Jesus says. You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside they are full of dead bones and all kinds of filth. In the same way, you look righteous to people, but inside you are full of pretense and rebellion. It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scriptural reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." Listen, will you please join me for a short prayer? God, we ask today that your Spirit will illuminate your word into our hearts and lives. For Lord, there is a lot to unpack in this short passage that we just looked at. So help us, Lord. Help us to be reflective upon our own hearts. Help us to be reflective upon our own actions. And help us to see where we are in line with your will and pleasure. And of course, Lord, where our lives, our characteristic traits may be in stark contrast to those. Minister to our hearts and souls, Lord. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Excuse me. Now, friends, between the questioning of the leaders and the responses that we just read from Jesus in the woes to the Pharisees, what do you think that Jesus is addressing? I know many would say he's addressing hypocrisy. But I believe that hypocrisy is simply a byproduct of what truly Jesus is speaking against. What I see Jesus railing against is something we know as legalism. Legalism. Now, the biblical definition of legalism is this: to adhere to the restrictions, guidelines, rules, regulations, and requirements of the law of Moses as a means for achieving salvation. But as modern-day Christians, many of us would scoff at this form of legalism. Yet, we know that legalism is still a very prevalent issue within the life of the church. I like the way one pastor wrote about it, and I quote, "Legalism is the damning lie that says God's pleasure and joy in me is dependent upon my obedience." He continues to say, "Legalism causes the Pharisee to look proudly into the sky in the presence of a tax collector. Legalism causes a missionary to think God is more pleased with him than the Christian businessman in the city. And it is legalism," he says, "that causes the longstanding church member who comes to every church event to think God is more pleased with him than the teenager up here talking during my message." End of quote. You see, for me, I can see Jesus addressing this topic very plainly, especially when he tells the Pharisees that they wash the outside of the cup, but not the inside, and when he calls them whitewashed tombs. You see, legalism is about an embracement of actions that become a show and not a reflection or an expression of one's heart. Let me say it another way. It's not the actions themselves that are bad, but the motivation for the action that I'm calling into question. Now, legalism can come in many forms and faces, and yet it's about developing, always about developing standards or rules that are not necessarily biblical, but are put in place to be morally binding and then used to manipulate and guilt others to gain control and conformity. And while we know that this is wrong, it happens in almost every congregation at some time or another. Now, before I go any further, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that Jesus thinks obedience is not important or necessary, because we know that he does. But what he's telling us is that it is secondary to the heart. The motives of one's heart are primary. In fact, Jesus is saying in the woes of the Pharisees, if you will, that one's attitude is much more important than behavior, because holiness comes from the inside out. But modern day Pharisees, like the Pharisees of old, believe that the outside is primary. Man is made holy, if you will, by working from the outside in. You see, I say that because you and I know that people still struggle with this concept today. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's true. Legalism is something that is innately ingrained within all of us. I read a sermon in preparation for this sermon time today that was an old sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And he writes, in his sermon that day that I read, he preached this. He said, "Beloved, the legalist in us is a great deal older than the Christian. If I were a legalist today, I should be some 15 or 16 years older than I am a Christian, for we are all born legalists." Now, what I feel Spurgeon's meant by the entirety of his sermon, as well as what I received from the scriptures that we just read, is that all of us at times feel that our salvation depends on us reaching a certain level of holiness. And we seek, if you will, to relate to God by trying to prove just how good we really are. And then there are other times when legalism comes into our lives and takes root by beginning to make us think that our preferences and our convictions on how we are to live for God should also be extended to every other person who claims to be a Christian on how they should be living for God. And regardless of how legalism takes hold in our journey of faith, when that happens, we become a modern-day Pharisee. We become the very thing that Jesus opposed the most in his earthly ministry. As modern-day Pharisees, you see, the problem with this is that as we willfully or blindly ignorant of allow this to take root into our life, we begin to promote a gospel that is out of alignment with Christ's gospel. It will promote that lie that God will find more pleasure in us or others because of obedience, that our obedience is greater than someone else's, or it will produce within us the belief that God looks at us with disgust because we're not growing in grace as quickly as another. But I remind us, friends, that the Bible says God is pleased with us because of what God has done for us in Christ. His love for us is displayed in the sacrificial love of Christ. Our identity, our new identity in Christ, is not found in the legalistic views of religion, but solely through our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look, I know that I've said a lot, but please don't assume that I'm just throwing the baby out with the bathwater. As I have preached in the past, I want to reiterate again today that I believe every Christian should have goals of faith, whether that is growing personally or helping a church grow corporately or discipling another through a mentor style setting. But these goals and their pursuit, while they will manifest positively within the way that we practice and experience life, these benchmarks or milestones that we place in our minds to serve as affirmation of living faithfully cannot become the standard with which we judge others. Listen, it is not legalism to respond to the grace of God by doing good deeds. Nor is it legalistic to instruct people to respond to God's grace. I mean, these are the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. This is the role, the job, the calling, whatever term you want to use. This is what every individual Christian is supposed to be about. Responding to the grace of God by doing good things and helping others to respond to the grace of God in their lives. But the practice of that is not done through legalistic ideologies. It's done because of our love of God and neighbor. What Jesus is trying to tell us in the passage we just read is that legalism will never lead anyone into fulfilling the ministry and mission of the kingdom of heaven. Rather, what it will do is cause churches and individuals to miss the mark of accomplishing God's purposes. Now, I'll tell you something, friends. This sermon has probably been the hardest sermon for me to write, because in the practice of putting this together, I find myself guilty of being a modern-day Pharisee. I won't go into much detail, but other than the fact that once it was brought to my attention, I had to call my doctor's office back and apologize to the young lady that I had spoken with over the telephone. Now, knowing that me, a man who intentionally preaches and tries to guide a congregation into not falling into the snares of the enemy, but be a full expression of the abundance of God's grace, if I can succumb to being a modern day Pharisee, I thought, well, what could I come up with? What signs could I share that would maybe help you be aware if you have become a modern day Pharisee? And this is what I come up with. Sign number one. Are you an individual who's quick to point out the sin of others while excusing your own? If so, you might be a modern-day Pharisee. Sign number two, do you serve God for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ? Or do you do it consistently, aiming for acceptance, approval, or affirmation? Sign number three, do you spend more time talking about what you're against and not who you are for? Sign number four, do you read the Bible your convictions? Or do you read the Bible to be shaped in the image of God? The last sign I thought would be a telling sign is this. Do you condone in secret what you stand against in public? I can tell you, our answers and responses to these questions will give us an inclination as to whether or not we are a modern day Pharisee. But do not despair, sisters and brothers. I do have good news, and that good news is this. If we see ourselves being a modern-day Pharisee, we do not have to be stuck in the rut of being that type of person. To avoid legalism, all one needs is an examination of heart in order to bring about balance within one's spiritual life. Perhaps Mark Bollinger, a great theologian and author, says it better when he writes this. The way to avoid legalism in Christianity is to have good deeds with good motives and to obey God's law out of a relational love for Him. I know that whenever I seek to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, body, and mind, and to love my neighbor as Jesus Christ loves me, it helps me not to be a modern day Pharisee. I believe it'll be true for you as well. If you will seek to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as Christ has loved you, then you will find that the issue of legalism is behind you as you're able to seek unity in the essentials, liberty in the non-essentials, and extend charity in all things. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.